one of the reasons that I think what I said really took off is because people were ready to attack the bully. And this was kind of a rallying call to be able to go after her. So, I hope that we don't end up here again because it's not what I go to Congress to do.
Y'all, this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey there, Jason Whiteley with you for this episode. Wheeler has this week off. I know he is going to miss our guest because we've been trying to track her down for several days now. If you've scrolled through social media at all over the last week, you've likely seen the memes. Of course, you've seen the headlines related to what Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett said about a colleague. She called Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican from Georgia, Congresswoman from Georgia, she called her a bleach blonde, bad built, butch body. To be fair, though, you know this. Greene threw the very first insult at Crockett. But what in the world is going on in Congress with these insults flying during official meetings? Let's lay out exactly what happened here. The House Oversight Committee, it's the Oversight Committee for the U.S. House of Representatives, was in an official meeting about 10 days ago or so. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican Congresswoman from Georgia, she makes a comment about Jasmine Crockett's eyelashes right in the middle of this meeting, just a personal comment on that. I'm going to play the clip here, but let me set it up just a tad. Greene comments about Crockett's eyelashes. Then you're going to hear almost immediately another female voice here. It's New York Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She scolds Greene. She goes after Marjorie Taylor Greene for making a personal insult against a member of Congress. Here's where things go sideways. The chairman of that committee, a Republican, refuses to punish Marjorie Taylor Greene, refuses to scold her. So Congresswoman Crockett, she asked the chairwoman this now infamous question. Here's how it all happened.
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about just AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you're the one talking about.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on. Listen. Order.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Greene's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Move her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play,
baby girl.
We are gonna move, and we're gonna take your words down.
I second that motion.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling. If someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built, butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
Congresswoman Crockett is on the line with us now. Congresswoman, did you ever expect that point of order to take on a life of its own like it has?
No, I don't think anyone would ever expect memes and songs and skits and all the things. I absolutely had never anticipated this.
So lay out kind of what happened there. When Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene made that comment, give me an idea kind of what your first reaction was before Representative Ocasio-Cortez jumped in. What was your reaction and what were you thinking then?
I was caught off guard because Marjorie is wild and ridiculous, but she had never crossed the line to actually attack a member of the other party. Now, she will attack her own members. She will attack the president, as we've seen in the State of the Union addresses, but she had never done this. And so initially I had to try not to get up out of my seat, if I'm being honest, because I knew that it was nothing more than her just trying to poke the bear and use this as an opportunity to try to demean me and raise money, because that's what she does.
So did you come up with that alliteration, that phrase, on the fly, or is that something you jotted down, said, let me think this out for a second while this is going back and forth?
No, it definitely was not as the back and forth was going on, but I absolutely did jot it down. So essentially I was of the impression that she was going to be forced to give an apology, which was perfectly fine with me. Like, I just wanted her to kind of settle down and let's get back to work, because after all, we were having an 8 p.m. hearing when we were supposed to be in the hearing room at 11 a.m. and Democrats have been at work all day waiting on them to return from their field trip. So I just wanted to get through it. Like, we knew they had the votes. We knew what this was going to come down to. But like, let's go through this in an orderly fashion. And so when she decided not to apologize, I was fine with that too, because that meant she was supposed to get kicked out. So it's like, great, whatever. Like, I just want to move on. And then when Comer decided to change his mind, it was only in that moment that I looked across at her and I started to dissect her from head to toe. So that's why it started with bleach blonde. I started to dissect her. And so I did jot it down in that moment as I was trying to get Comer's attention.
So you jotted this down, you got his attention, and then you said it, and the chairman didn't know what you said. It kind of reminds me of the scene from something about, well, my cousin Vinny, when the judge said, I'm sorry, what? What has happened in the 10 days or so since then? What kind of reaction have you heard from other lawmakers first?
You know what? It's been nothing but positive. At least on my end. And that's including her Republican colleagues.
You've had some Republicans give you praise
absolutely.
For that?
I'm sorry?
You've had some Republicans give you praise for that?
Yeah. We've not engaged in some long conversations, but I've definitely gotten some winks and some thumbs up from some of the Republican women. And then I've had at least two Republican men that specifically were like, I like your eyelashes. So like, definitely with a smile after it, right? She's not been supported by her caucus. Like, you didn't see members coming out defending her for what she said whatsoever, but members absolutely defended me for defending myself. And so she is on an island by herself. I mean, think about it. The week before, she had tried to oust the speaker. So she just doesn't really have any friends. And Lauren Boebert voted with the Democrats. And I don't think she did it because it was the right thing to do. She may say that that's why she did it. I think she did it because they have been involved in a rift for a while as well. So I think that honestly, Democrats and Republicans alike were like, thank you, finally, somebody to like, you know, shut this bully down. And I did it in a way in which I wasn't violating rules, but it was a way to make Comer think about what is the Pandora's box going to look like? If you say that this is okay, what all is going to be okay? Is this really how you want to run the committee?
Well, let me ask you that question. I would take it a step further. What in the world is going on in Congress?
Yeah, it's not even just Congress. It's politics as a whole. I mean, you know, I truly believe as a progressive Democrat, I truly believe in governance and what that means. That means two functioning parties, period. I absolutely believe that. And right now we have a party that has been co-opted by MAGA, and MAGA is not a party. MAGA is a cult. It is completely different. And I say it's a cult because it's like people are brainwashed, right? Like, they're doing things not because it necessarily makes logical sense, but they are brainwashed and they are also induced to doing violent things. And so that's why we've seen what we saw on January 6th. And you've seen people come out after the convictions and say, man, I was lost, right? And so here it is, this cult is taking over. And because this cult may give traditional Republicans some of the policy agenda things that they care about, they're like, fine, we'll deal with the cult, you know? But there are very few regular Republicans that are still standing. And we know this when we look at how many people are leaving Congress. The people that are leaving Congress in droves are the semi-regular Republicans. They're like, you know what? Not only am I leaving, but I am quitting early. And to have a Ken Buck, who's a Freedom Caucus guy, this isn't like your middle ground guy who says this place is too wacky for me. And he's not talking about the Democrats. In fact, he said that he got so much more done when the Democrats were in control.
Huh. So for people who haven't been on Capitol Hill or in the office buildings where the lawmakers physically do the work and have their offices, it's a you know, close-knit, small hallways, and people run into each other all the time. Reporters are in there waiting to talk to people constantly in the tunnels at the Capitol, too. Have you run into Marjorie Taylor Greene since all this happened?
I have not seen her. No.
Not at all. Nope. Have you spoken to her at all? Email, text, anything
nope.
like that?
Nope.
If she were to be listening to this episode of Yolitics, any message for her? Any comment to her?
Focus on your work. I mean, we can disagree, but that doesn't mean that you are somehow entitled to then come after me personally. And that's it. Just focus on your work. Focus on serving your district. It's what I'm trying to do every single day that I show up in the halls of Congress.
I want to ask you something that Donna Brazil said the other day on ABC's This Week. She's, of course, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee, political strategist. She essentially said, after all this happened, maybe you shouldn't have taken the bait. What do you say to that?
I disagree. You know, and I think that we have different generations of Democrats right now. And when I say different generations, I'm not just talking about age. I think that we have different approaches, right? We are being faced with something that we've never had in American politics, right? When you think about things like the Civil Rights Act or the Voting Rights Act, these were things that were passed in the 50s and 60s, and we could get them passed. Right now, we can't get a reauthorization of the Voting Rights Act because we have been co-opted by people that literally don't believe in diversity, equity, or inclusion, affirmative action. Like, we're turning back the hands of time on repro. Like, we have a different machine that has pulled in. And I just don't think that you can continue to approach this different kind of machine that we're dealing with using the same old tricks. And it's one of the things that people have said about the Democratic Party. They said, listen, you guys are weak. I don't think Democrats are weak. You've seen so much strength out of Hakeem Jeffries, who is literally in the minority, but he is governing as if he is the boss, right? Like, there's so much strength. But at the same time, basically, we're told, sit there, take the punches. And yeah, you like, people will be happy. I will tell you, now I haven't talked to all 766,000 constituents that I have, but we have received flowers in like Spanish. We have received so many emails. We've received emails from other countries talking about how happy they were that I finally shut her down. And we're talking about somebody that's a villain. This person actually polls the worst out of all Republicans. She polls the worst. She's also the fifth highest fundraiser. And so her antics, they have a place somewhere in MAGA world, and it affords her kind of this reinforcement of continue to play games because I'll end up raising money. But the reason, one of the reasons that I think what I said really took off is because people were ready to attack the bully. And this was kind of a rallying call to be able to go after her. So, you know, I hope that we don't end up here again, because it's not what I go to Congress to do. I have brought hundreds of millions of dollars home to Dallas because that's what I was sent there to do. I have actually been able to get legislation passed. In fact, just earlier that week, I had just gotten a bill out of Oversight Committee of all committees. Of course, she voted against it, but I got it out in a bipartisan way. I've been able to work with Senator Cornyn and make sure that we could work on things such as fentanyl. So, like, I am there to work. She is there to disrupt. And so the hope and goal is that I don't expect anything out of Marjorie, but I expect more out of my chairman. And I think I may end up being able to get that out of him.
Let me ask you about something you said in that, and that's about being a different generation of Democrats, because I think Democrats today, when you look at the Republican Party today, Democrats today probably have that reputation of being weak and maybe taking the high road and you know, being the 1980s, 1990s Democrats and not engaging like Republicans do, not showing their teeth like Republicans do. Do you ever have any veteran Democrats on the Hill who say, come on, Congresswoman, just
actually, not really.
Ease up. Not really at all, huh?
No, the very first person that I saw the next day, because we had one vote on that Friday, was Nancy Pelosi. And Pelosi definitely did not tell me to pull back. Pelosi was like, great job. And I was like, what? And she was like, you got her. And so, you know, she was very encouraging. And I was like, how does Nancy know? Because again, we were in that hearing until close to, I got home like at midnight or a little bit after midnight. And, you know, I went in to vote at like 9 a.m, but it had been on Good Morning America. And so she had seen it.
You didn't know that? You didn't know that people were already talking about it?
I did not know to that extent. I was still asleep. I slept until like the last minute because I got in so late. My pastor called me while the hearing was going on, and I did not know why he was calling me. We talk. So I sent him a voicemail and I'm like, I'm in a hearing. And he's like, I know. And I'm like, well, why are you calling me? You know? And he like then sends me a message and he's like, the next time you say be sick, basically, he's like, you got to send me a warning so I don't have water in my mouth. And I was like, what? Wow. So I just assumed that my team had clipped it and put it on our social and my pastor follows me. I didn't realize that to this day, my team has not put it up, right? Like, so I didn't realize that it came from elsewhere at that time. And even my mom, who doesn't have social media, I got home and she texted me and she said, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And so she's like, okay. And then she sends me like a Bible verse or two. And I'm like, Ma, did somebody like call you or text you? And she was like, it was in The Hill. So The Hill had already put up some article and she had read it. And I was like, oh my goodness. But no,
what did your mom say? What did your mom tell you?
Oh, it was like, you know, the devil comes to get you type stuff or whatever, but stay strong. It was some of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But in the end, my mom definitely was not. First of all, my mom knows me very well. So she already knew.
She knew where you'd be coming from. Let me ask you this. You filed a trademark application for this May 19th.
I did.
Meaning people, you know, if this is approved, can't use this phrase, bleach blonde, bad built butch body without your permission. What's the plan for that phrase?
Yeah, so we filed the trademark for the t-shirts because people immediately started producing t-shirts. And I was like, oh, this thing is not going anywhere. I was like, wait a minute, we need to turn this very ugly situation into something positive. We need to be the ones to be able to raise money. So to be clear, there is a trademark application that was filed, but it was not filed in my personal capacity whatsoever. It was filed under my campaign so that the campaign could benefit and hopefully democracy overall can benefit. As someone who sits in House leadership, I am constantly giving money away. And that is to give money to frontliners. There's a race that I've been helping out with, a runoff race down in Houston for the runoff that's happening for State House. I've also helped out with my local elected officials because it's always more difficult to raise money on the city level. So I actually support candidates on all levels of government throughout the country. And that's what this money will go to do.
After Marjorie Taylor Greene insulted you by pointing out your eyelashes, I want to ask you about something that I believe you said. You said what she had done was racist, and you've acknowledged that many women of other races also wear fake eyelashes. Explain why you think that is racial. And did I understand the comment correctly?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I actually just talked to someone earlier today and I said, you know what? For whatever reason, I hadn't thought about the Obama situation with the tan suit. And people were outraged because he wore a tan suit. And I kept being like, now why are they acting like they mad? And it wasn't that he wore a tan suit. It was that was a way of, and the same people that had a problem with him wearing a tan suit are now okay with the orange man being on trial, right? So like, it is this idea of, I'm going to attack you and it's because I am trying to demean you. So what we've seen a lot of MAGA is they always attack my appearance. They talk about the fact that I may wear extensions in my hair. They talk about my nails. They talk about my lashes. But they don't do it when it comes to any of the other members. And I won't talk about who they are. But here recently, I was talking to a member that I'm very close with. And she is a bleach blonde. And so she was like, I don't know if I want to change my hair color now. But she was just laughing about it. But she wears lashes, right? And she came up to me and she was like, she would never say anything to me about my lashes. And so we know that there is this persona that they put on it. They've done the shenanay things. They call it ghetto. They associate that with that. And because MAGA constantly attacks me on social media and says these things, it was one of those racial tropes for her to say. That gotcha. Was the intention. Yeah.
And shenanay is one of the characters on Martin.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And let me get back to the t-shirts for a moment and trademarking this and potentially yep. raising money off of that. You're not selling those t-shirts yet, are you?
Yes, we are.
Oh, you are? Is
yes,
that?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So I presume that's online on your website or campaign
yes,
site?
Yes, it is online. It's theclapbackcollection.com.
And you know, you talked about the possibility there and how, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene on the other side and some other Republicans on the other side might fundraise off of being disruptive, but doesn't some people might hear this who and say that, listen, this just exacerbates the divisions we have in government right now. What would you say to that?
You know, I here's the deal. Until people decide that they want to elect serious lawmakers, this is the space that we're functioning in. And I could have sat there quietly. That could have been a thing. I chose to defend myself because when I went to Congress, I didn't go to Congress to be anyone's doormat. And, you know, to me, it's hard to tell my district that I will stand up and I will fight for your rights and I will fight for you. And sometimes that means even fighting for some of their lives. And I don't even stand up and fight for myself. So while I had no plans of ever being disruptive for the purpose of raising money, I think that I want to turn what she meant for bad into something for good. And that's all it is. It was reactive. It was responsive. And it happened. And I honestly think that the average person will be smart enough then to try me again. She's not the average. And so, you know, the goal is for the chairman to be able to actually get a hold of her and control her in some respect, at least when it comes to me. But you know what? I will say that another positive thing that's come out of this is that there's so many songs and there's some that are truly educational. Like they are talking about things that she's done. They're talking about things that she hasn't done. And to get a phone call from a friend who's in another state telling me that his seventh grader and his 18-year-old were singing one of the songs. And he asked, he said, hey, like, what is that y'all are singing? And the seventh grader is like, oh, dad, you don't do politics, so you wouldn't know about it. And so, you know, he's laughing. He's one of my fraternity brothers, so he knows me, like, personally. And so he's like, well, what do you mean, politics? It's a song. And so he starts to tell his dad all about who I am. This is a seventh grader.
Wow.
Who somehow now, so he didn't just know the song, he knew what happened. And he said that his teacher went further than that and said, listen, this isn't the first time that she's had to be very aggressive in committee and things like that. Or I've gotten phone calls. I had a dad that had come to the Capitol with a lobbyist in his professional role. And I know the lobbyist, and she texts me and she says, hey, I've got somebody, I know you're busy, if there a way that we can just sneak a photo, because he says that his daughter loves you. And I said, yeah, sure, whatever. So they came and found me. We take a photo and I do a video for her. Now, this is before the Marjorie thing, but turns out she attends school out in California. And it was the daughter that had told her dad about me. And I said, well, give me your phone. I'm going to, you know, do a message for her. And I did a message so that he could send it to her, and he's crying. But this is, you know, there's a new generation of Democrats definitely that are coming in. And to see young people, people that, you know, when you leave it to the media, say they just don't care, they're turned off, they're not getting engaged, they're not getting involved. I just think that they are looking for something a little different in politics, as for many of them, when you look at Gen Z, they had Obama and then they had Trump. Like, that's been their whole existence.
Yeah.
And so it's been something that's been more positive than negative.
Well, she's right, and the younger folks are right there that you have gone viral many times. We've watched you do that, even back to your days in the state legislature. Did you ever, though, think this is how the U.S. Congress would be?
No. I was expecting great things. I always walk in with these great expectations, just knowing that I had a Democratic president and knowing that there was a Democratic Senate. I just fully anticipated, even with a Republican House, listen, we can get some things done. You know, this is a president that believes in working together and governance. And so I was like, great, we'll get some stuff done. It may not be my full agenda, but I'll get something done. And it has been more combative than anything. And it has been so wasteful of my time. It's very exhausting to sit in committees and know that you're working on something that's never going anywhere. It's just so that they can go out and campaign and message versus them saying, listen, we're going to do our messaging bills because we want to keep the House for sure. But they're trying to do bills that can't even pass the House because MAGA and Republicans can't figure it out. So they're just wasting so much of our time and it's exhausting.
Well, speaking of wasting time, let me ask you about something I heard in an interview you did with K104 in Dallas, DD in the Morning. Right after this, I think it was maybe the morning after, a couple days after, you said at the very end of the interview that you weren't planning on being a lifer in Congress. I think you said you'd go where you are needed. Do you want to stay in the House of Representatives? And what else might interest you?
Did you say that I want to be a lifer?
No, you said you did not want to be a lifer. Oh, okay. That's okay. What you said. When you said it, I grabbed something to write it down. I said, well, when I talk to Congresswoman Crockett, I'm going to ask her about this. What else interests you besides Congress? Where do you see yourself maybe in 10 years from now?
No, I will tell you again, it is, I will go where and if there is a need. But I don't see myself as someone that really bask in any type of glory from being an elected official. I actually like seeing my friends and hanging out with them and seeing my mom and everybody else. I like and miss the courtroom. I had a chance to go and watch the president's trial for a second on the very last day that they just had. I liked my life. there were definitely less death threats. There was definitely less tiptoeing around, you know, what you say, how you say it, and people judging you in the moment.
Do you get death threats, though? Do you get death threats?
Oh, yeah, we do. We do.
Really?
Yeah. My team tries not to tell me. But for the most part, it's mostly people that are talking. I think that there may have been one or two incidents where they said that they were going to send somebody out. But that was way before now. Who knows what they've gotten? Yeah. If for some reason there's something that they really feel like I need to be aware of, then they'll tell me. But I think my team gets more fearful than I do. But because I did criminal defense work, you know, most of the people that do the majority of the talking, especially if they're gonna call our office and say I'm a killer, like, you're not going to kill me.
Sure. No, right. Like, it's a lot of noise usually.
Exactly.
Here's the last question I have for you, Congresswoman. What do you want people to know about Jasmine Crockett?
I want them to know that I am a very real person. And, you know, I do this work because I believe that we, the people, deserve better. And I want there to be a truly representative government, which means that the issues that keep my constituents up at night, I want to make sure that those issues are addressed, that they're highlighted. As a lawyer, my job was to always solve people's problems. And that's what I'm trying to do, is make sure that we can get this country on a better track. I believe in the next generation, which is why they excite me just as much as I may excite them. And I believe that this experiment that we have called democracy here in America, while it may be challenged here and there, I absolutely believe that it can and it will work if we just decide that we have the will to make it work.
Jasmine Crockett, a former civil rights, current civil rights attorney. I don't know if you practice very much. Former state legislator in Texas and current congresswoman representing parts of Dallas County. A congresswoman who is not afraid to clap back. Thanks for the time. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Hey, y'all. Want to see the Jasons Talk Politics? Download the WFAA Plus streaming app for your smart TV and watch the latest episode of Y'allitics each Wednesday night at 8:30.